Well, I apologize for the wafting of the smell of dinner, roast beef, I understand. To think that I have to compete with that. So how many of you did your homework? You don't even know. You're asking each other, what's the homework? Oh, my. What are we going to do? The homework was to start a list, without looking at your Bible, of the number of one another's that are found. We got love one another. We heard that one last night, at least offhand. And we belong to one another. So how many got 5 or 10 or 15? Oh, my. And then the dinner, too. How can we do that? Who is? You know that they are. That was my next point. You were over there last night, and you're over here. See, I was over there. Now I'm over there. Anybody else sitting in the same seat? I'm sorry, that probably hurt the AAV guy's ears. Anyway, you'll be sitting by somebody you don't know. Who is this person? So the next assignment is when you come in early and you sit down, you look to your right. Oh, there's somebody sitting there. You look to your left. Somebody sitting there. Somebody in front of you. Somebody behind, and you need to pray for those 4 people. Okay? Because one of our studies is pray for one another. So that prepares you and prepares them for our time in the Word of God. So when you come in, look around. You might say hello to them. I'm going to pray for you. You might say, what shall I pray? You might pray what John prayed, that your physical health would be the same as your spiritual health. We might have to call the MTSs or something, you know, the medical people, for some of us that are healthier physically than we are spiritually. So there is that truth that we need to understand. My thoughts are to help you. I'm surprised our brother showed up to do the singing without a wedding garment. So casual, man. I'd like to do the same thing. I was in South Africa not too long ago, and quite some time ago, and the electricity was off, which isn't unusual. And it was really, really hot down in South Africa. So I took my tie off and set it aside. If you had to wear a tie as often as I have, you'd have a clip on too. And then I took my jacket off and put it on the chair next to me. When I came back 3 years later, they wouldn't let me speak in their assemblies. And it wasn't until the end of 6 weeks speaking in other assemblies in South Africa that I realized, I was told, you know, the reason they wouldn't let you preach in your in these assemblies is because you took your tie off. It's an offense to take your tie and your jacket off. So I went home. I got a list of all the assemblies I'd spoken in without my tie and wrote a letter to them and apologized for violating their culture and asked for their forgiveness. I sent a letter to each one of them, 12 assemblies, and didn't hear a word. Came back 3 years later, and they asked me to speak in their conferences, 700 or 800 people at a conference. They asked me if I would, and I said, yes, I would. So they called on me to speak, and I said, before the Lord has given me a message, before I speak, I need to let you know that I sent a letter to all of your assemblies. There was about 700 or 800 people there, and I said, I ask for your forgiveness for violating and your culture. And I said, I can't give the message until I know that I have been forgiven. And I moved over and I stood like this, waited for them, and it was very quiet, like it is here. And finally, my brother, oh, no problem, brother, no problem. You know, if that's okay, give us the message the Lord gave you. And then 2 other men stood up and said the same thing. And then the Lord gave me the what I needed to do that. So you meet some problems. So I'll leave my tie on. Okay, is that all right? Because usually when I show up like this with a tie, I must be the preacher because nobody else has a tie. So our study yesterday was that we belong to each other. And what a wonderful picture God gives us of what it means to belong together. And I told you I was going to do two things. One is I was going to tell you about the big house. That's not the prison. When we talk about the big house in South Carolina, it means the prison. But here, the big house, in a big house, there are vessels for honor and vessels for dishonor. And so God uses that picture of a house. And so as we look at this, we were in the great room last night, in case you were wondering. The great room where everybody in the family of God is, because we belong to each other, and there is that gathering. So Afternoon. This afternoon, we're going to the front door, because there is in the front door an opportunity to welcome others in. And so the idea comes to us from Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. Romans chapter 15 and verse 7, and we'll read a couple of verses, beginning at verse 5, and reading at least through verse 7. Verse 5, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another." There's another with another. I'm not sure we'll get there, but we'll try. And then it says, "according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore," when you see a wherefore, it's like a sign with an arrow on it. And it explains why the next message is being given. And they used to say, wherefore is the therefore, therefore. And it's there as an arrow that points. And so he says, "Wherefore, receive one another. Receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God." So that's the front door, isn't it? We got to open the front door, and who are we going to let in? Because we're talking the great house, and in that great house are many rooms, but there's a front door. And we are faced in the local church with the reception policy. Oh, it used to be such a tremendous word, and the whole idea of the reception policy permeated the local churches throughout our country, and I'm sure to yours as well. So we need to see, not if it matches your reception policy, but what is our responsibility in the reception policy. And what does the word receive mean? Because he says we are to receive one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, your translation may be different than mine because I'm still reading out of the King James. I hope you'll forgive me for that. You know the hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less than Scofield Notes and Scripture Press. I dare not read the NIV, nor even read the Living Bee. On KJV alone I stand. All other versions come from man." All other versions come from man. You don't have that hymn in that verse in your hymn book? Why, you're missing out on one of the best verses in the hymn. So I read from the King James, and you notice already that I make a few textual changes and try to bring it up to speed. So you probably have, you know, whatever. If you have the Message, I'm sorry. If you have the NIV, I hope you outgrow it. And I hope you get into glory with the NIV. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful to you for your word. We do thank you again that you have written it for our learning and for our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank you for those that have chosen to be diligently translating your word into the language of people. We think of many around our world in many people groups who have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ in their own language. What a job, what a calling, what a mission, what a dream, what a passion to take your word out of its original languages and bringing into the languages of those people and writing a primer and giving them a vocabulary and giving them an alphabet. We thank you for those that did that for us and brought us your word in the language of the people. May we be diligent in learning its message. May we be diligent in studying its truth, storing it in our mind, memorizing its message, living it so that others will know that we've been with the Lord Jesus Christ and learned of him. We thank you for meeting with us and for blessing your word because it's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged seed. We thank you that that seed is alive, and as we put it into our hearts and into our minds, it will produce a rich harvest that will glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed, and we enter into that blessing this afternoon through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The reception policy. It's an awesome subject. Some of you are old enough to know that it was argued and it was discussed. Who can come into our fellowship? And the reception policy had to do with a number of things. Had to do with what translation you were reading. It had to do whether or not you wore a tie. It had to do whether you were baptized by immersion. And a few other things. And interestingly enough, as we look at this reception policy, we are talking about the church. We had a discussion last evening with the difference between the church as an organism and the kingdom as an administration. I am very distressed because we get letters from missionaries and organizations who are evangelical, and I see creeping into their verbiage, into their language, more and more about the kingdom. Now, the kingdom was promised in the Old Testament. The kingdom is an administration. Christ is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is King of Kings to Israel. He is Lord of Lords to the church. The scientists told us in news just that I picked up yesterday that the world's largest organism has been discovered in Utah. And it is a collection of roots and branches and shoots of a special aspen tree that covers scores and scores of acres of land. And they have determined that this is the world's largest organism. I feel like writing them a letter and say, sorry, but that's not right. The largest organism in the world is the church. From every tribe and nation and kingdom and tongue. So when you hear about the kingdom, let's understand that the kingdom is an administration. Christ didn't love the kingdom. He loved the church. Christ didn't die for the kingdom. He doesn't indwell the kingdom. And I could give you a list of a dozen things which relate to the kingdom. Because the kingdom is the result of Christ coming as the king. You cannot find a scripture that says Christ is the king of the church. But you can find 100 that tells us he is the Lord of the church. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Matthew begins by, where is he that is born king of the Jews? And it closes with, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. And the book of Acts opens, and the accusation is that this man is preaching another king, a King Jesus. And king was offered, the risen king was offered in the early part of the book of Acts. And the kingdom decreased and the church increased until at the end of the book of Acts we find Paul in prison. and he is preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the Jews and the gospel of the grace of God to the Gentiles. Did you hear me? He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom to the Jews, as had been done all the way through the book of Acts. And he was preaching the gospel of the grace of God. And there are many mission organizations in our world today who have left behind the gospel of the grace of God. And they are preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is preached by healing the sick, clothing the naked, educating the ignorant, healing and ministering to people in need. You can preach the gospel of the kingdom without the cross and the resurrection, because it was done throughout the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. But you can't preach the gospel of the grace of God without the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sad, because those who do not believe in Jesus Christ as the Savior do and can preach the gospel of the kingdom. And it's a popular thing for NGOs to do, that is, non-government organizations, because they can feed the hungry, they can clothe the naked, they can educate the ignorant, and they do it. They can do it without the gospel. But those of us who consider the church to be an organism for which Christ died and for which he loved, our responsibility is to preach Jesus Christ, him crucified, risen, and coming again. One person heard me. It's okay to say amen. You know that? You better learn, because when we get to glory, we're going to ask his name, the amen. And you have to be able to say amen at the giving of thanks. So when we look at this, we need to understand something of what this word receive. Verse 7, wherefore receive one another. The word receive is one of the first words I learned in my Greek studies. I didn't do very good in Greek because I didn't do very good in English. And but one of the vocabulary words was lambano, and it means I take or I receive. I take or I receive. And so when we look at this word, we can understand, wherefore receive one another. That makes sense. So we take this word and we look and we find it's a dozen places in the New Testament, and we find three particular areas in which it is used, which helps us understand what it means to receive one another. We are standing at the front door, as it were, of the big house. We have been in the family room. We're going to a few other rooms in the course of today and tomorrow. But when we stand at the door, why should we let somebody else in? And the Lord Jesus Christ gave a parable about a man coming into a wedding feast without a wedding garment. And so there is at least some background in which we could understand that there are designs and demands by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the house, how it is that we are to welcome one another. It's hard to expand the circle of fellowship. You remember last night, we were concerned about the body of Christ. We were concerned about the word fellowship. And the word fellowship simply is the Greek word koinonia, and it means to share. How do we understand fellowship? Well, it's like several fellows in a ship. And that makes sense, because if we have half a dozen men in a little ship, and they get out beyond from the land out to a place where they are a little bit concerned, and one man has a fish hook, one man knows how to fish, one man has fire, the other one can cook, one has a compass, and one man is strong. There you've got, I think, six men. So if they share with each other, they'll make it back. So the guy with the hook gives it to the man who can fish. And the man who can fish goes and gets a nice fish. He brings it on board. He gives it to the man who cooks, who says to the man, you know, you need to give me some of your fire. And so the fire starts. The man starts cooking. The man with the compass said, we need to go that way. And the man who is strong grabs the oars and he starts pulling. They'll make it back. But suppose a man with the fire says, I'm not sharing. And he throws his fire overboard. They'll never make it back. So the word fellowship simply means to share. And one of the great truths that we have in the New Testament regarding the body of Christ, and it's manifested in your bodies as well, that every part of the body enjoys the resources equally. You don't have any more than I have. One of the great blessings of being a part of the family of God and of the body of Christ is that we all equally share. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and are born into the family of God, we are given that opportunity to enjoy and appreciate and appropriate. And there should be no jealousy. As we learned last night, each one of us have gifts and abilities. And we are to use those gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. So when we come to this idea, how is this word used? This is a command. He says, wherefore, receive one another. Now, this is not just speaking to the elders. This is not just describing a reception policy that belongs to a certain organization, a certain local church, but to the body of Christ. There is only one body. We use the word body, the body of church in Chicago and the body in New York and the body in where am I, Charlottetown. But that's not right. There is only one body and we are members in particular. It's okay if the local church is a microcosm of the universal church, but there is only one body. To speak of the body here and the body in summer, whatever it is, Ville or town or something like that, it's not really communicating the oneness of the body of Christ. There's only one body. So as we look at this, we can learn a lesson. There are three aspects in which this word is used. It's first of used, if you turn back in your Bible, to the book of Acts. And look at the book of Acts, chapter 27. In the midst of chapter 27, we have Paul on his way to Rome. And when he goes to Rome, he is there in order that he might fulfill the promise that God gave him. In Acts chapter 27, looking at verse 33, do you remember what happened? And we realize that the ship was in a terrible situation. Paul had been given a commitment by the Lord that he was going to survive and everybody was going to survive on board. And the sun wasn't available, wasn't seen for several days. And Paul addresses this issue. And you look at it in verse 33. He says to us, and Paul said, we look at verse 31, and Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, to receive meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Same word in the negative. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any but you. Verse 36. Then were they all of good cheer, and they all took some meat. That's the same word. Receive one another as Christ received you. Isn't it instructive that the concentration of this word finds itself in the context of this shipwreck? And the emphasis is the very lesson that we're needing to look at tonight, this afternoon. That is, we are to receive one another as we receive food. Ah, so you had lunch today and breakfast and whatever else? What's going on? What's happening right now? Do you realize what's happening in your body? Do you remember the eggs you had for breakfast? They're becoming hair. You know, the bacon that you ate, that becomes fingernails. And the toast that you have, you know, that becomes the oil between your knees and whatever else. It's a process, an amazing process, where that which you eat becomes a part of you. And the amazing regeneration of your body is because you feed yourself. And the process is spontaneous, but you have to eat. It's instructive for us that this particular word, the way it's used in Romans, is it is in what we call the middle voice. The middle voice in Greek means you do it for yourself. You're not being fed by somebody else. You are not being received. It is our responsibility. You are to take each other into the family of God, into the body of Christ, the same way you take food. Isn't it instructive that the very principle that we're talking during our studies is there is one body. It is the body of Christ. It is an organism. It has the life of God in it. It has been anointed by the Holy Spirit. And the blessings of our salvation and of Christ in us makes us part of this living organism. And each one of us are responsible in the same way that three times a day at least you sit down in front of some food and you in the middle voice, you take it and you receive it. It's what the author of Romans is saying we must do. We are to receive one another as Christ received us. He has received us as food. That's why he uses this to help us understand it. He has received us into the body of Christ. We have different members, different responsibilities. What good would it be for me to have the gift I have and for you not to be here? What am I going to do with an empty building? What gift do you have? And your gift, as we understand and understood last night, that none of us is alone. You can't leave one member of your body behind. You didn't leave your right leg behind because it was tired. You're here with your whole body. But as we are received into the body of Christ, what a wonderful truth. But we don't often hear that. It's not part of the gospel. But as we study the Word of God and come to a conclusion, we realize, as I said to you last evening, we have the bride of Christ and the body of Christ and the building of God. And we become a part of the bride of Christ. We become a part of the body of Christ. We are a living stone. And we are presented by Christ to the rest of the body, the rest of the bride, the rest of the building. And he has a place for us. We are to receive one another as Christ received us. Do you remember when you were received by Christ? You may have forgotten. You may not remember. Some of us were so young when we trusted Christ as our Savior that we don't even remember the event. But some, I can point to a man in our assembly. He said, I can take you to the tree where I was standing when I trusted Christ as my Savior. Major W. Ian Thomas says, I can take you to the blade of grass where I was standing when I trusted Christ as my Savior. And what happens? It says to us in this text, we are to receive one another as Christ received us. What preparation was necessary? Did he ask you to sit back for 6 months till we see whether your life is right and you're walking with the Lord and you have all your doctrines in order? No. He received you. on the basis of your faith. But we're so afraid we might welcome somebody into fellowship that may not be a true believer. My brothers and sisters, our responsibility is to welcome and to bring them in. And as they become a part of the body of Christ, we are responsible to interact with them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to work with them. We don't understand how that metaphor completely falls in, comes together. Because what member is it? Well, the medical profession tells us that every 7 years or something like that, our whole body is refreshed and restored. And that there are parts of our body, the skin fluffs off, and we have to have new skin. So it is in the body of Christ. When somebody comes to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and we understand their salvation, we are responsible to encourage them and help them to be a part of the body of Christ. And we are to receive them, and that result is, it says, to the glory of God. The word glory is the Greek word doxa, from which we get our word doxology. The hymn, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, is called the doxology. And the word doxa is glory, so it's an ology, a study of glory. And it says that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are to be praised. That comes right out of Ephesians chapter 1. Because it says three times in Ephesians chapter 1 that we should be to the praise of His glory. What does the word His refer to? It's three times. The word His refers to the Father in the first portion. That we should be to the praise of His glory, that is the Father. Because the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Then the second time it says that we should be to the praise of His glory, that is the Son. Because the second paragraph in Ephesians chapter 1 tells us about the greatness of our Savior and the glory of His salvation, that we should be to the praise of His glory. And then we find it a third time in Ephesians chapter 1. And it's after it describes to us the ministry of the Holy Spirit, where He is sealed by the Holy Spirit, and the inheritance is given to us, and we have the earnest of the Spirit, that we should be to the praise of His glory. And that is the word His refers to the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at this and we hear what He says, to the glory of God. Why does it say God? Because when the word God is used, it uses in reference to the Father and His ministry, and the Son and His ministry, and the Holy Spirit and His ministry. He is a triune God, as we learned this morning, at least the men did. So the Father is always the source of everything that God does. When we think of the God of God being glorified, it is the Father. That is the one who created and presided for the body of Christ. What does it say in the book of Hebrews? A body you have prepared me. So the body was prepared by the Father. It was produced by the Holy Spirit. That holy thing which shall be born of you is of the Holy Spirit. And it was possessed by the Son. That's true of everything that God does. You can look back throughout the Scripture. The Father is the source, the Son is the one who accomplishes it, the Holy Spirit is the one who applies it. And so the body of Christ, the mystical, as they call it, the mystical, unseen body of Christ, of which you are a part of it because the work of the Father, no man can come to the Son except the Father draw him. The Holy Spirit convicted you of the sin of unbelief. And the Lord Jesus Christ opened His arms and invited you in. And your faith in Jesus Christ brought you into the family of God. And you are responsible as a member of this body to welcome others. One of the greatest thrills for a local church is to see people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. One of the problems is we haven't seen anybody get saved in months or maybe years. But if somebody would come and know the gospel, or you draw them to Christ through the gospel, and they trust Christ as their Savior, and they're welcomed here, and say you belong to the body, you're an important member of the body, you are like food to us, and we want you to be a part of the body, a functioning member of our local fellowship. Then turn over a couple of books to the book of Philemon. And in the book of Philemon, we find this another use of this word, Philemon. And the author of Hebrews helps us understand, the author of Romans helps us understand that we are to welcome one another as food, and then we're to welcome one another as a fellow. Look at what it says in Philemon, verse 12. Whom I have sent unto you, thou therefore receive him. Receive him. That is my own heart. Isn't that beautiful? What is the story? The story is of Philemon receiving this letter from Paul. And having received this letter from Paul, all of the experience floods back into his heart of Onesimus, a slave, a servant in the house of Philemon. And he runs away, perhaps with a goodly Babylonian garment or maybe a wedge of silver and gold. And he flees from where Philemon is and from his house. And he finds himself in Rome. And when he finds himself in Rome, we don't know what happened. Maybe he got hungry and he said, where can I find something to eat? And there's a couple, and that couple is on their way. And he approaches them and said, can you give me a shekel or something like that for some food? He says, if you follow me, he said, I'll feed you. And so he follows this couple into this house, and there in the house is this shriveled up little old man called Paul. And he's chained in prison in Rome. And what does Paul do? He preaches the gospel to him, and he trusts Christ as his Savior, and he's born again. And Paul says to him, you got to go back. You got to go back to Philemon's house. You got to go back to Philemon. And I'm giving you this little letter called to Philemon. And Paul says to Philemon in this letter, receive this runaway slave, this thief. Receive him as if it was my own heart. What a beautiful picture. Isn't it amazing that the idea of us receiving one another, this new believer, this person who has come to us from this denomination or that principle or that culture or that society, and we welcome them in and say, "Guy, it's just like my heart." What a bind. What a bringing together. What an enjoyment. What an appreciation. And then you turn over to the other side of that page and you'll find again in Philemon verse 17, and he says, as if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Wow. Can you imagine that? Paul is saying, I'm hoping to come to Colossae, and if I come to Colossae, I want to come to your house. And his wife says, let's get the guest room fixed, and we'll fix it up with new this and new that, and we'll have a nice fragrance, and Paul is coming. Apostle Paul is coming. He's coming to stay with us. And then they read this letter and say, put Onesimus in the guest room. What a tough job that would be. You're expecting Paul to come, the great apostle, the preacher. And here comes this runaway slave, this thief. And Paul says to him, receive him as though it was me. You see, you have received my wife and I, our first time coming here. What a reception you have given us. How about others? Will you receive them as though it were us? Puts you out, doesn't it? You might bring somebody in that might not be what you want. And so he says there is that opportunity for us to receive one another as Philemon was to receive Onesimus. But what a background. What a thief. What a failure as a servant. What a runaway. But he knows Christ. And under Paul's message of the gospel, he believes it. He believes the gospel, and he is transformed by the gospel. And Paul says, I would like to hold on to him, but I'm not going to hold on to him. I'm sending him with this letter. Did Onesimus know what was in that letter? I don't know. Because he was a piece of property. He was a slave. And Philemon had the authority under the Roman government to do whatever he wanted. Cut off his hands. He's a thief. But no, he says, receive Onesimus, this runaway slave. Receive him as though it were myself. As if it was my own heart, you would welcome him. Surely the story of the prodigal son would help us in this way as well. The prodigal son's, his father standing there on the front porch of the large ranch or farm, whatever it was. I will arise and go. I will go back. He questioned whether or not the father would receive. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your servants. And you would think that the relationship was canceled by the father because he had taken the living and he'd gone out and spent it on prostitutes and on friends. You'd think it was ended. But the first word out of his mouth, Father. Father, I have sinned. And that lesson of sonship, which cannot be undone, that lesson of relationship, which cannot be undone, is manifested to us in bright terms, in bright letters. The Father receives him. Kills a fatted calf. And some of us are like the elder brother, out of fellowship with the younger brother, out of fellowship with the father. And a great truth is repeated for us in that amazing lesson. Because the elder brother says, you never gave me a lamb. You never gave me to have a party with my friends. And what did the father say? You are always with me. Tell me. Here he was, out of fellowship with his father, out of fellowship with his brother, and the father says, you are always with me. And then he adds, all that I have is yours. The prodigal son was received by the father. The food was received by those on the ship. Onesimus was received as though it were Paul. And then we have a final opportunity to understand that. And we realize as we look at Acts chapter 28 and verse 2. In Acts chapter 28, we have a final opportunity to see something of what it means. Acts chapter 28. I can remember some friends of ours who had a sense of humor, and they put this verse in the guest book, and we picked it up and read it. Verse 2, and the barbarians, that's great, the barbarians, the people who are lost, the people who don't know Christ, the barbarians, the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone. It's the same Greek word. It's the same as receiving food. It's the same as receiving Paul. The barbarians received us. And they showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. What is the lesson here? The lesson here is that sometimes the barbarians do a better job of receiving us than the body of Christ does. The barbarians. Do you remember the story? That's where they landed up. After the shipwreck, And there they were on the edge of Malta. And they built a fire because they were wet and they were cold. And a serpent, a snake, came out of the fire and laid a hold of his hand. And they looked at him and said, oh, he's going to die. And he shook the snake off. Oh, he must be a god. And they received him. My brothers and sisters, we are to receive one another as food. We are to receive one another as Onesimus was received. We should receive one another better than the barbarians do. Sometimes we have seen that those who do not know Christ have received us better than those who do. It is sad that this great thought that Paul gives to us in the book of Romans, receive one another as you have been received by Christ, to the glory of God the Father, to the glory of God the Son, to the glory of God the Holy Spirit. When the church functions as it ought to, you will be received. Not because you have the right Bible or translation, not because you have a theological discussion and know all the proper twos, but because you belong to Christ, because you have the life of Christ in you, because you have Christ in you. And as we welcome and rejoice in the additions to the family of God, without any preconceived notion, without any standard by which we judge them, the body of Christ will function as God intended for it to function. How challenging it is to receive one another as you receive food today, and it becomes, and you absorb it, and it becomes part of your being. It strengthens you. It renews you. And for the body, you are refreshed. And the same thing is true in the body of Christ. It is a command. Receive one another as we are received, that God might be glorified. God is glorified when the church functions that way. How sad the lack of glory to God when you appear to gather with the Lord's people and they say, I'm sorry, you can't come in. Your skin color is wrong. Your education is wrong. Your theological orientation is wrong. But do they know Christ? Have they been born again? And when we see, as the Lord has welcomed us into the body of Christ with a member to function and to serve, God is glorified because the wonderful Father has designed that we should be a part of that body. The Lord Jesus Christ has died for our sins, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day in order that we might be a part of his body. And the Holy Spirit, by his great ministry, takes us in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and places us in the body of Christ, a permanent, personal position that can't be undone. You and I are responsible as members of the body of Christ to receive one another. And therefore, we glorify God. It is a command that we are to obey. And as a local church, there may be several local churches represented, but as local churches, it is our responsibility to acknowledge the oneness of the body of Christ, the oneness of the bride of Christ, the oneness of the building of God. There's only one. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That will glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for receiving us. We thank you that you have given to us all that we need in order that we might function in the body. We thank you that we have your strength, the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has given it to us. We have the joy of the Lord as our present possession. We have a hope which is beyond the grave. We have the peace of God, which is ours because He is our peace. We thank You that we have His love because God is love. And all of these resources that You have poured into us make it possible for us to function in harmony with and with glory to the head. Thank You for bringing us into Your family and into the body of Christ so that we as permanent members can extend that same grace to those around us. And they will know that we've been with Jesus and learned of Him. We thank You for the glory of the cross, because by that cross, substitution was accomplished. We thank You for the resurrection, because all the blessings of our salvation are because Jesus Christ is alive. And may we, in our lives and ministry, in our songs, in our hymns, our spiritual songs, in our prayers and in our decorum, may people know that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and we are a part of the body of Christ. May we learn to function as members in the body in harmony with others, as we will learn in our studies over these 2 days. Thank You for ministering to us and challenging our responsibility, as Your Word does every time we open it, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.